Now he advances to third. Here's the pitch, and it's hit high into the air, deep right field. Laureano drifting back onto the track. He's near the wall, and he makes the catch, and that's going to do it. Promising there for a while, but the Orioles erupt for four in the top of the 11th, and they win the opening game of this series by the final score of 10-6.
Another maddening conclusion for your Texas Rangers on this radio station. If you're a baseball diehard and the ratings for the Ranger game show that many of you are, you maybe slammed the remote in disgust like I did after the second home run that put the Orioles up after the Rangers failed again in a clutch situation with one out. And you missed Adolis Garcia trying to bring them back, but ultimately they lose to the Orioles. Game one in Arlington, 10-6.
That Couser home run was well-piped.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a well-struck baseball. So was Adolis's. But prior to that, you mentioned that was a moonshot.
I mean, it was... We saw so many different just like Baltimore had been quiet for like six innings. Texas wasn't hitting a ton of shots. And then all of a sudden we get into extras and Gunnar Henderson, Couser, like Adolis, these are all like 115 mile per hour like moon shots, they feel like. But it felt like, all right, we turned a corner. We got this 3-run homer. We're gonna win this in extras. And then you go right out there and you give up four more runs.
Chris Young, what do you say now about being buyers or sellers? He was asked that question on the G-Bag Nation.
You know, this year, unfortunately, we're two games under and we're not in the driver's seat. We're playing catch up right now. And while I believe in this team and I believe that we can turn it on and when we get healthy, these guys are very capable of being a very good team. The reality is that to this point in the season, we have not seen it with any level of consistency. And so what I'd like to see immediately is us play very good baseball for a consistent period of time. And there's still time left to do that. However, you know, we don't have in perpetuity, so to speak, to make these decisions. We don't get till the end of the season to decide whether we're a winning team or not. We have to make these decisions a little bit earlier in terms of what we're going to do to upgrade the team or maybe, you know, trade from some of these pieces that may be expiring contracts or whatever, you know, may not fit in the future. So we do have tough decisions ahead. And, you know, really, I always say it's the team will help us determine the fate and where we're going. And, you know, that's why this weekend was a really kind of a heartbreaker. But that said, there's still time to respond. We go on a tough road trip before the All-Star break, and that may determine in a lot of ways what direction we go.
Wow. A very realistic, good answer from Chris Young, kind of leaning back towards the other side. It now sounds like a very real possibility of selling.
I like what he says. I just have a hard time trusting that he's actually going to do that. Like, given everything we've seen about him, I have a hard time seeing him ever just going like, yep, we're going to sell. We're going to punt on this season. Even if they're, what are they? They're three back in the wild card right now or whatever they are. Like, that's what they should be really evaluating right now. They should be leaning towards we need to sell because they've shown for a year and a half at the plate they're not good enough. And so I'd be all for trying to figure things out, replenish some depth, get rid of some expiring guys. I just don't know that I'm ever going to believe that Chris Young will do that no matter what he says.
Well, he is not the ultimate boss.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
He's been a very compelling advocate for his cause, though.
He has, and I think the ownership has given him pretty strong leeway here to be able to do what he wants. With it, money aside.
Yeah, you know, like spend. Yeah.
Yeah, like his decisions are basically like, you know, he's in charge of all the baseball stuff, obviously. I'm still kind of leaning in the let's figure out a way to make this thing postseason worthy.
Like, just I'm because ticked of off, the pitching. I'm ticked off that they're this close in the wild card even. I wish they were even further back.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Easier.
And now, the update on Tyler Mahle from Jeff Wilson. Small strain of his rotator cuff. 2 more weeks of no throw. No long-term concern, but he will not be back before the trade deadline.
Right, and the problem with that is that, A, you now can't trade him. No one's trading for Tyler Mahle with a strained rotator cuff.
Nobody's giving you up a ton for him. Somebody may deal for him.
I mean, they might give you a bag of baseballs. Also, this puts you in a position where...
So right now, real quick, Mahle, Corbin, and maybe even lighter trade value has all dropped.
Well, Corbin,
month.
Yeah, Corbin is you know, we're seeing what's going on there. I mean, he's obviously coming back down to earth. You know, Leiter, I think there's still value with Leiter. He's young, and there's still an upside.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of value with Leiter. I think there's more value with Leiter than with Malley or Corbin, obviously. So, I mean, if you wanted to make a move with him, I think you still could pretty easily. Someone's going to bite on Jack Leiter.
Leiter's value has dropped from the perspective of a team that's trying to win right now and thinks he can, like, solidify the rotation.
He's not going to be a third in a playoff rotation.
If you wanted to do what Tampa did last year, where they start selling off pieces, you know, and it doesn't matter who you're trading. I mean, you could trade Jack Leiter to Milwaukee. You could trade him to, I mean, that's probably a bad example. You could trade him basically to any team. Someone is going to look at him and say, yeah, we could build for the now and tomorrow with Jack Leiter.
Yeah, there's value in both. It's the whole Nico Harrison, like, it's for now and it's for later. Like, you can do that with Leiter.
Where are they on the trade tiers?
So, yeah, the Athletic had broken things down and just looked at where does every team fall down in terms of whether they're going to be buyers or sellers or how they should approach the deadline. And you've got, like, tier one could be or should be aggressive buyers. That's the Tigers, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies. And then you've got different levels of this, like trending towards the buy side, everything like that. The Rangers fall into the same tier alongside the Cincinnati Reds and the Atlanta Braves as trending to the sell side. They say we've spent 3 months waiting for the Braves and Rangers to make a run. Their rosters have plenty of talent, including remnants of recent championships, but it just hasn't happened. Both have a positive run differential but a losing record, and now Chris Sale and Tyler Mahle are on the IL. Time is running out for a couple of preseason favorites to actually make a case for being buyers at the deadline. And when they talk about trade chips that the Rangers have positionally, they look at it and they say they can offload starting pitching, relief pitching, and they've got some outfielders that they can move on from. But in that, yeah, it's not like that's part of the frustration of how much they've struggled. You also don't feel like a lot of these guys have the same value that you would hope they would.
No, you would hope that but they don't. And, you know, you're going to have to dip into your farm system something fierce if you really want to go make some moves, if you want to bring guys in. Again, they could do a raise thing and start unloading some of their vets, like Adolis or whatever, but
I mean, they have to if they want to build.
If they want to build, but not for this year necessarily. You know, this is a future thing, and that's the big tug of war. It's going to be the tug of war in that building. You know, and I think Sean and I have been pretty much on the same side. It's like, you know, this pitching staff is solid. You know, this pitching staff is without question. If you were going to give grades to this to the various parts of this team, the pitching staff's been it's an A+. The starting rotation has been an A+ this year.
Yeah.
And that's that. You know what wins in October? We know it wins in October.
It's just very hard for me to let go of. Rangers Nation tweeted this. I'm trusting that he has this all updated. The Rangers are first in team earned run average with a 3.28. First in team fielding percentage with a 9.91. 29th in team batting average with a 2.26. You are wasting the best starting pitching and the best defense with some statistics showing that in Major League Baseball. Just very hard for me to let that go.
But I'm
approaching it.
Yeah, and it's literally just because the offense has to be this bad for you to even consider it. And that's what they've been. Yeah. I'll say when we sit here and try to figure out value, let's say you're one of these contenders and you're up and coming and you're a fan of one of the other teams and you're going, we need pitching and bats. And if you just look at the Rangers roster as an outside fan, who do you look at and say, like, I want him? That you think they reasonably could trade? Because we don't think they'll trade DeGrom. Do you look at it and do you want, as a fan of another team, you're like, oh, yeah, Mahle, that'll really help us? Or are you like, that dude's not going to be that for us?
Well, I mean, but look,
I'd want Mahle as a third or a fourth. There's two different wants. It's wanting for the future, Jack Leiter, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, wanting for my postseason run, and I'd be interested in Mahle. If this thing is not that serious with the rotator.
Yeah, but that, you know, I guess that there's your question. Like, you're going to trade for Tyler, for Mahle. I mean, you're another team. You're trying to make a playoff run. I can't imagine you give up anything of value for somebody with a strained rotator.
Are Nate and DeGrom off the table? Or you have, because if you say they're off the table, you have to tell me how you're going to be even more aggressive and more in next year.
DeGrom, I don't know how feasible it is. Nate shouldn't be. If you really want to sell, if you want to try and rebuild some stuff, Nate shouldn't be, because Nate would be a big chip.
Nate would be a very big chip. He's got
bigger chip than Jake?
Yes, because I think there's...
Maybe.
I mean, Jacob DeGrom right now
Jacob
is
DeGrom's
like,
been so great.
Throwing 97, the numbers, almost no-hitter.
I get it. I think the issue is that obviously there's concern with the history of guys off their second Tommy John and how long he can go. I think everybody in Ranger Kingdom is, with every single pitch, holding their breath. To this day.
Yeah.
I think guys they would actually entertain trading on this roster that they might be able to get something for right now. Not a huge return, but it'd be Adolis and it'd be Jake Berger. Because teams are always want bats.
Choppy was out yesterday playing golf for charity with our boy Derek Collin. Mm-hmm. And you were also trying to be a golf spectator with our former friends at Live.
Yeah.
Were we not good enough to go back and do the show there this year?
I don't know.
Bobby ticked off. What's his face?
He invited the Ocho instead.
Henrik Stenson. He got Henrik Stenson all hot and bothered.
Yeah, he's calling Reap by the Ocho now because he's getting the credentials for
Obscure
Live,
Sports.
WNBA.
That's good. That's very good. I got to hand it to you on that one.
Poor Reitman's not even at work today because he's so depressed over the Fantast reaction yesterday over the 25 minutes of screaming.
So Liv was here over the weekend at Merido, and it's the second time they've gone there. And I heard some great things about it, and I experienced some terrible things about it. Mm-hmm. You want the great or the bad?
Oh, the bad.
The bad first? Okay. Friday, after the show, my guy Reed, ASU Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hits me up. He goes, hey, I got tickets. I got an extra ticket. You want to come? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. I'll be there. We went last year, but I didn't get to walk around as much as I wanted to because it didn't start till the afternoon. So I go there, and he's like, I'll meet you there at 11 o'clock. It's 11:05 shotgun. I'm like, okay, great. I leave here. I get up there at 10:30. I'm ready to go. I was like, I'm not going to be able to stay long. Got the kids. Got to get the kids. So I'm not going to be able to stay long. But I'm going to go walk around a little bit, have some beers, then leave. I drive up to the course, and I start seeing signs for VIP parking here, which we didn't have. General parking, there's an arrow straight. And I think I'm on Beltline. I'm like, okay, let me go straight. And there's another sign like a half mile up the road. Straight. Keeps going. Just keep going. I keep driving like 2-3 miles. I'm like, where the hell is the parking lot? And I finally go to Google, and it says, you got to park at Standard Stadium. Which, if you remember that, that's when Valley Ranch had their, when they had the tornado rip through or the supercell rip through. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys practiced there. That's where they held their practice for like, you know, the OTAs and mini camps and stuff. And I'm like, that's not anywhere close to this. I look on the map and it says it's about a 20 minute shuttle ride that you have to take. And I'm like, I got like an hour and a half here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to park, take a 20-minute shuttle ride, and then walk around for 45 minutes, and then get back onto a shuttle, wait 20 minutes, because they never come on time, and then get another 20-minute ride back. Guys, if you're going to have this tournament here, you got to come up with some better parking.
Where's the Saudi money for that? Why aren't you being just like, you
flown
know,
in.
Yeah. I mean, you should have had a chopper.
Build a garage, a temporary garage for everybody. That's what you got to do. You got a ton of places up there. Build a garage. But I was told from PGA Pro that this was that Bryson and Liv did more for junior golfers in DFW than anything the Nelson's ever done or the Colonial. First of all, it was a ton of kids there. They let the kids in free. The Nelson used to do that. This year, I was told they were charging $90 just to get in, regular ticket. And it was apparently incredible. It was a really good turnout. So that's good. Banner weekend for them. The crowd, I was told that was about what they get at the Nelson for the TPC, or what it was at the TPC in Las Colinas. So that was good. But the parking, guys, you got to do something about the park.
NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on. We go commercial free with the Expressway. We ask Reddit at 740, and that video game is back.
Oh, baby.
Kind of. It's the College Kegger, commercial free, with concert tickets and Ask Reddit after this.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
We are commercial free with the Expressway. Brian brought us his favorite segment of the show, Ask Reddit, coming up at 7:40. Oh, an NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway. No reason for you to go anywhere else. Then the Expressway here with Sean and RJ back together again. We got our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt, and we got the return of a video game in about 2.5 years.
Yes, we do. It is finally happening. So EA Sports brought back college football. Was it last year or the year before? Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, a year or so. Rousing success. Great job they did with it. It's a fun game. The kids love playing it. And now they have announced they are bringing back EA Sports College Basketball. Yeah. And Bobby, they're going to have the women's teams involved too. So keep your comments to a minimum.
I was wondering about that.
But the madness.
WNBA expanding.
I know.
By three teams.
Three teams.
You like that?
Three teams. I like that. I do like that.
Just in time for Caitlin Clark's retirement.
Guess that went with 2030, right? So they're bringing it back. Now, this game will not come back until 2028. I guess it takes 3 years for them to put this game out there and get it all set together. But here we go. So you have no idea who the players are going to be because none of them will be in the league anymore. But college basketball is coming back to your PlayStation and Xbox.
It was a better game. It was a better game than the college football one.
Oh, it was a good game.
It was better. In general, the college basketball games with the dynasty modes and the recruiting and everything else you could do, I loved those games a whole lot more than the college football games.
My last college basketball game, I think it was Coach K on Sega. And played with the Terps, Joe Smith. I love the game. I was obsessed with the game. The O'Bannon boys,
yep.
UCLA, who many would credit for the state of college sports now, people mm-hmm. getting paid. But I loved that game back in the day, but I haven't played another one.
The college basketball games, they've kind of, the only way you have been able to get any sort of taste of it at all has been 2K. Like a couple times with 2K, they've had in the player mode, the career mode or whatever, they'll let you play like three games in college or something.
And how do you this? I haven't played video games since you have to like update it.
Right.
But isn't college basketball the biggest gamble?
Oh, yeah, because it's every year.
Every year.
Now, I guess with the portal, college football changes so much too.
Yeah.
But it's the number one is college basketball because all the good players, if you're a good player in college football, you generally have them for at least another year. If you're a good player in college basketball, you'll probably never see them again.
Yeah, but I always played the college basketball game less for I want to play with this stud. Like, you know, that sounded weird. I want to use this five star or whatever.
Right.
It was less about that. It was more just about like I enjoyed playing college ranks. I enjoyed playing with those college uniforms and like being able to like create. Oh, let me build a program. Like that's what I liked about that.
It was
game.
Fun. And you know, like when it comes to the draft and stuff, I mean, we saw this year and Bill has talked about it. The NIL and what it's done to hurt the NBA draft. I mean, it basically the first round was all freshmen and the second round was all seniors. There's no in between, you know. So it's helping. The NIL is helping college basketball because you don't have those really good sophomores and juniors coming out anymore. They make more money in staying in college basketball.
Do we have? We always talk about it with Tecmo Bowl, college football. Do we have like an all-time or top three or top five college basketball video game list? Of the players who were just dominant. Pepe, did you ever play it?
Yeah, the last one I played was just on the Xbox. I think Blake Griffin was on the cover. So that's the one I played, which, I mean, I thought that one was pretty good. I mean, you had Blake Griffin there. North Carolina was really good. Michigan State as well. 09, 2010, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying
to... Was there a player that was just known to be unstoppable?
Yeah, Redick.
So there was Redick. For me, the guy that was always... It was the March Madness 2004 when that one came out. And they threw Carmelo Anthony on the cover. And Carmelo Anthony had left, obviously. And so he wasn't on the game anymore.
Yeah.
But that year, Jerry McNamara returned. And Jerry McNamara on Syracuse on that game was... You could put up 40 easy just raining down threes with him.
College Kegger, commercial-free expressway here on The Fan.
All right, so one of the things we could do to fix this, and one of the reasons that NIL has brought in all sorts of great change, has been gambling.
Yes,
gambling is now an open possibility thanks to NIL. And not just gambling. Well, no, I don't mean like this. I mean letting these college players gamble. Let them earn a little bit of money. The NCAA, according to the AP, is actually considering a proposal to allow college athletes and staff to bet on professional sports. They still would not be allowed to bet on NCAA sports, but they would be allowed to bet on things like the Super Bowl, Major League Baseball, NBA, different things like that. I'm a little surprised they would open the door to this potentially just on the fact that with all the other changes that have gone on and the stuff that they've wanted to have in their control, I'm surprised they would relent on this one when they could potentially see it as like, oh, they could have buddies in the NBA. They could be getting inside information. This causes problems. I would have thought the NCAA would have dug in on this. I wouldn't have thought they would have even let this be brought up. But apparently, according to Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, they're going to listen on it.
I cannot get enough of the Malik Beasley clips, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet. I need to.
Oh, dropping the pass against the Knicks. But
there's zero chance he did this on purpose in a playoff game, right?
Defending at the top of the key. But the funniest one was him sprinting to cover an 8.5-point spread. It was like 4 seconds left. Did you see the video, Bobby?
No.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's like an 8-point, 9-point game. 4 seconds left. Someone hits a free throw. Beasley gets the inbound and sprints down the floor, makes the layup. That right there, that's the smoking gun. It's over. That ends it right there. Right? When do you ever see that?
That's bad. Yeah, so they get down. It's against the Clippers. They go down 9 with 5 seconds left, and it was an 8.5-point spread, and he runs down there to get that dunked with 0.4 seconds left.
That's great.
You never see that.
No.
That right there. That's game over.
I imagine, like, you know, if it's in a playoff game, you're probably not throwing playoff games, right? But
depends how big his payout was.
Depends on how big his payout was, yeah, versus his playoff share, right? No doubt. But that's bad.
I'm reading too much into it. But also, when that free throw is made to make it a 9-point game, I feel like I see him drop his head a little bit. Like, damn.
But his face looks panicked.
Yeah.
Like, I have to get this. Like,
please don't make this. I can't have my kneecaps taken out again by a baseball bat. That's what it looked like. he looks super intense here.
You know, when it comes to college athletics and the gambling, this is what happens when you don't have a CBA. Because the leagues, college sports can't enforce any of this. The league, NBA, NFL, they could ban you. It's in the CBA. You know, it's in the rules. There's no bylaws for the NCAA anymore.
And it's odd, too, because when you look at, they screwed up NIL. They thought, this will never come. We'll dig in on it, and we'll just be able to hold our power for forever. And we've talked about it. As soon as the courts came in and said, no, now they've been left without rules, and they're stuck. And it's been this Wild West scenario. So this feels almost like, well, let's get ahead of the inevitable. Let's build it up in the way we want it to look. And it's like, I don't think you have to get in front of this one. I don't think this one is close to happening right now. This feels like something where you're flipping a switch that potentially doesn't need to be flipped. More money in college sports and how it affects things. This was a hilarious article from USA Today the other day. They're asking the question, how will Trump's cuts to universities affect college sports? And they say it's a touchy subject. And USA Today writes that hardly anybody in charge of major college athletics wants to talk about this publicly. It's the Trump effect. Will the Trump administration's plan to defund American universities trickle down to college sports in the form of funding cuts? And it says USA Today Sports contact more than 25 universities and college leadership organizations. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Somebody at the University of Tennessee, a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies, Robert Kelchin, said, I'm not surprised that nobody wants to talk, particularly at Red State Public Universities. It's such a touchy topic right now. No, I would imagine they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to draw any attention to the athletics, which probably are not going to struggle at all with any cuts. Like, athletics are, in a lot of ways, especially in the era of NIL, they're getting their cash regardless.
They are, and a lot of times it's like, you know, yes, the athletic department a lot of times funds the academic department, because especially at these major football factories. You know, but they also have their own budgets, too. Like, you could donate just to the athletic department.
Mm-hmm.
You could donate just to the College of Arts and Sciences or whoever you want to. And, yeah, I'm sure a lot of, like, you know, Harvard's got a lot of donors that are just, hey, we're going to donate to the business school. And I'm sure Texas has their people are like, hey, this only goes to football. You better not be giving any of this money to the rifle team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that all
shots fired.
On. Yeah, shots fired, right? I'm sure that goes on all these factories. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think they just don't know. It's more the unsure, you know, unknown that they're worried about.
I just think you don't want to draw any attention. Like, if you're not going to be part of this, like, you don't think this is going to affect you at all, I'm not commenting on that. Like, I'm not going to give you a comment that will potentially impact our bottom line when we don't have a problem right now. That's why they don't want to talk about it.
The current odds to make the college football playoff. I have them from Bet Online. Right. Name the five teams, fellas. You can go back and forth.
The top Texas. Five?
In any particular order. Texas, yes.
Ohio State.
Yes.
Penn State.
No.
Oregon.
Yes.
Georgia.
Yes.
Notre Dame.
No.
Bama.
No.
Who am I blanking on?
Team that screwed me over.
Texas Tech.
No.
Vanderbilt.
Clemson.
Oh, gosh.
Clemson.
Get out of here with your Cade Klubnik.
Ohio State with a 76% chance to make the playoff. The Longhorns at 75. Then Oregon, 72%. Georgia, 71. Penn State, 70. Alabama, 60. Notre Dame, 60. Clemson, 56. Why does this say the five best odds?
Oh, those you're looking at percentages versus Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Clemson's going to win the ACC. It's much more easy. They get an automatic bid.
Okay. So that's the update in terms of making the tourney.
Yeah, that's the one thing. You know, the problem, one of the other problems in with
SMU
with
did not have any opening odds, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's one of the issues with the NILs. A lot of times you don't know. Like, how many of those teams have new quarterbacks this year? Notre Dame's got a new quarterback this year. Texas has a new quarterback this year. Bama has a new quarterback this year. Georgia, Ohio State. Penn State's the only one, right? Isn't Penn State and Oregon's got a new one,
Penn
too?
Penn State and Clemson.
Clemson and Penn State are the only ones. Go look at the playoff teams from last year. SMU's got the same guy. Clemson has the same guy. Penn State's got the same guy. Everybody else in the playoff, Indiana, Tennessee, Ohio State, they all have a different quarterback this year.
I'm stunned Bama didn't get their credit. I guess it's just the Saban cult again. They just go like, oh, if it's not Saban, it's
are they
not
your
great.
Number one most hated college team?
The football team is, yeah. But I mean, I don't care about Alabama as a whole, but yeah, the football team is awful. The Athletic had this: how many college football teams would have won a national title with Nick Saban? It's part of the series they're doing of no wrong answers, where they go through these like just vague what if questions. And their writers went through, and they had a number of people weighing on this. It was like 50 writers who went down, and by a number of different criteria, they looked at what was the talent like since 2005 after LSU. They looked at, you know, what was the recruiting average for the class, and they took all these different factors, and then they had everybody, these panelists, vote. And it was actually 17. So 17 people voted on this. And of the 17 votes, there were 17 unanimous selections of teams that would have won a title with Bama or with Saban in the last 20 years. Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, Penn State, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, and USC.
I mean, look, I think there's 136 programs that would have won a title with Saban. He's objectively the greatest coach you've ever seen.
No! You think they all would have had a shot?
If Nick Saban in 2008 went to Akron, Akron would have run into a title by now. They would have. They just would have.
Over half of the people Alabama, responding to this.
What was Alabama before Nick Saban?
I won't go as far as Choppy, but I agree with this premise. Every top 30, 50,
yeah.
Every top 30 program would have won a championship.
So UCF is on here as over 50% of respondents said they would have won a national title.
They went 11-0 with Scott Frost.
Houston, BYU, yes, yes, Georgia Tech.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You cultists. Yes. You drank the Kool-Aid.
Is he not the greatest coach in any sport?
Is this for last year or just if he took them over?
No, this is if he had took them over starting in 2005.
Yeah.
Would they have won?
Then I agree.
Zero chance.
How's it zero chance? What was Bama?
Michigan State didn't even win one with him.
What was Bama?
Michigan. Bama is nothing. Bama is, no, but Bama's got
nothing.
Bama has the roots. Bama has the roots. Bama has the money. Bama's always had that.
LSU was.
You're insane.
LSU was.
Revisionist history. LSU was nothing.
LSU was nothing. LSU, when I was in college, LSU was an afterthought.
This is like, y'all are treating this like this is Chris Peterson, Billy Boise State. Like, my goodness, the Crimson Tide. They had that guy, that Lion Bryant? What
Alabama
was his name?
Alabama couldn't get out of their own way. They're on probation every third year.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dennis Franchione messed them up.
They were rolling through the third Shula brother.
All right, let me ask this. Let me see if you can at least try to be fair.
Yeah.
If Saban took the Texas job,
mm-hmm.
How many rings? The same amount as Bama?
No.
More.
Less.
Because the Big 12.
Less.
Why?
Because I'm telling, like, Alabama, that, like, where they're at regionally, to be able to get Florida, to be able to get Carolina, the way they reach into Texas, everything else, regionally, everything else, and all the money that comes in there,
Bama
would have won more titles than Texas. Texas would have won one or two. They're not
one
winning
or two?
They're not winning five.
That it's fair because Florida, I think Florida produces like defensive line and linebackers at a much higher rate than Texas.
Cultists.
For whatever reason. For whatever reason. Yeah, so Alabama geographically is in a really good spot, but Texas is the best job in sport. It's the best job in the sport. For a reason. Like, you don't have to get on an airplane. You just go outside. Just
no.
Throw the flag.
Don't got to get on an airplane. You just get on Haley's Comet with Marshall Applewhite and then the Colt.
Speaking of Texas, Choppy, Kegger.
The Pac-12 is coming here. I saw this great post on social media is that because of conference realignment, you can drive to the coasts in 4 hours right now because SMU and Texas State, you can just drive between the two.
Oh, Chris SMU's, Arnold time.
SMU's on the Atlantic Coast Conference. And then now Texas State, baby. They are heading to the Pac-12.
Ah, party's coming to the Pac-12.
The party is coming. So from Arizona and Arizona State and Cal and Oregon State and USC and Stanford, UCLA, Washington State, to Texas State, Utah State, Washington State, San Diego State, Oregon State, Gonzaga, Fresno State, Colorado State, and Boise State. That's the new Pac-12. But Texas State, they were in the Sun Belt. Really a no-brainer. Pac-12 comes calling. Now, the Pac-12 isn't the same anymore, but the name does carry some weight. You're probably going to get a better TV deal. You're going to pay the $5 million buyout, and they'll be able to get enough money to eventually buy themselves into the Big 12 in a couple years.
Party school. That's what they are. They party. And, I mean, they've started to turn things around a little bit in football, but, I mean, they're not like, really great at anything.
No, they've done a nice job with their program. They had a pretty good year last year. They were a really good team to bet on. So this is good for them now. This is like you're the flagship university of the Pac-12 in the state. You get the Pac-12 into the state. They've got an advantage over the other schools because of geography. This is good. This is good for them down there in Texas State.
All right, College Kegger right here during the commercial-free expressway where we also hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
All right, Tolles, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets to see NBA Youngboy on Thursday, October 30th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
We bring back a special guest at 8 o'clock this morning. He joined us during the Stars playoff run. We'll talk about their probable next head coach. 8 o'clock this morning on Sean and RJ. Right now, it is time for Ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, where we do Ask Reddit every Tuesday at 740. We ask you to weigh in there. You can also weigh in on the Twitch or on the YouTube as we kick around some of these questions here in the studio. We'll start off with RJ Choppy.
All right.
Chop, people born before 2000, which we all are, what trivial skill do you possess that others don't use anymore?
A sense of direction.
Oh.
Like being able to drive somewhere without GPS. I still put it on for like traffic reasons.
Yeah, that's my justification.
Oh, I got saved by the other day. I was driving and it said police ahead. And I hit the brakes and there was a motorcycle cop just ahead. I would have missed him. And I'm usually pretty decent at spotting them, not this guy. It saved me. It saved me for a speeding ticket.
Yeah. Whenever I have like friends or family in the car, I put it on because I have zero sense of direction. And I'm like, I'm just doing it for traffic, alternate roads.
Yeah.
That's it. Going back to Maryland, I was so happy.
Because you do everything. It's back of your hand.
But it's just Route 50. Two lanes. That's it. No exits. No turnabouts. No roundabouts. Problem. No access roads.
Yes.
Two lanes this way, two lanes that way. That's it.
I had somebody who had moved here, a friend of mine who moved here from Florida, and they said that their impression of the Dallas roads after living here for a year was they're like, it's like somebody took spaghetti, threw it on the map, and just went, let's build the roads this way. Because it is nuts the way everything crosses.
Well, look overhead at Houston.
Yeah.
Oh Houston. Man. Houston.
One of their shows was literally called The Loop.
Houston.
Yeah.
Houston.
On 610 Sports Radio.
Houston, and they're starting to do it here. They've started doing it on 35 with the toll lanes. But they did it in Houston for years where you would have, okay, the HOV lane is for this side of the road. Now it's for this side of the road. And that used to scare the hell out of me driving to Houston. I was like, what if somebody's coming the wrong way? The answer for me on this was, the thing I came up with was produced VHS tapes. Like if you got an actual like Hollywood produced movie, I know how to record over that. When you couldn't just record over it the way you needed to.
Oh, you
had to
put the tape over
over that little open square, and then that would allow you to record over it. Otherwise, it would say, nope, can't record over this. Peyton Russell, what's a trivial skill you possess that others don't use anymore?
I can still parallel park. I nailed it when I was 16 when I was doing my driver's test, and I can still do it today.
Does not feel trivial.
Do people not have to parallel park anymore?
I mean, like, they don't like, I mean, they might have to do it for the test, but I don't think you have to, like.
Yeah, in
ooh,
life.
If you go down here, you have to.
Yeah, you're in Dallas.
Yeah, but no one does anymore. I see a lot of people just drive past or hear people just drive past. I'm not going to even try it. They just drive past and try and find a parking spot.
I wouldn't trust Krista to parallel park. I don't know if she can. She's just never done it.
My wife's car has that self park.
Oh.
But.
Wow. Does it work?
When I was test driving, and I love the vehicle. I love the Chevy Traverse. But when I was test driving it, it was a little sketchy. It was kind of bumping into things, and I don't fully trust it. Unless I totally need its help.
Yeah.
And no one's around, so I can, you know, do a hit and run. I'm not using it.
Yeah, I would want to have that on my record. Like, what if it's a bad parallel park job? Someone thinks you're doing it, as opposed to the car auto parking.
Right.
You know, I want to do it myself.
Here's some of the answers we're getting on the fan text. We're getting a lot of them. 469, cursive handwriting. 254, I remember phone numbers. 214, I can use the Dewey Decimal System. What were you referencing in the text last night that I had no idea what you're
Lexus
talking about?
Oh, Lexus Nexus.
I have no idea what the hell that is.
You are younger than us.
Yeah, you are. That's what we had to, when we went to the library and you wanted to find, like, old documents, you had to go on this.
How you found all our high school stuff.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. That's what that thing is then. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell, what's a buzzword that immediately sets off your BS alarm?
Well, I would say influencer would be the buzzword, but I have a phrase as well. It's the Cowboys are interested in blank. Every time I hear it, I go, all right, what this? You know, it's always a superstar or any free agent. It's always Cowboys are interested in. Yeah, everyone's interested in the guy. But yeah, I'd be influencer if it was one word.
That's pretty good. Sean, you got a buzzword that triggers you and makes you say, this immediately makes me look skeptical at this topic or situation.
Well, all of RJ's abbreviations.
His abbreves? Yeah.
We played a clip yesterday of a hockey analyst talking about Glenn Gullitson, and he said he had sty.
His sty. We didn't know if that was like a hockey term or style. Shortening style.
I think it's style.
We think he was shortening style.
Yeah.
Wow.
So whenever these abbreviations come up, what did your kid tell you about his glove? Didn't have any.
Oh, it didn't have drip. Any aura. Didn't have no aura, no drip.
Oh, yeah.
No drip.
Do they use aura?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
There was a kid on their baseball team this weekend. I was on Sunday. So they had a game, and he ropes one to left. Now, we were playing on a bigger field. We were playing at TCU, so it was bigger than the high school fields a little bit. And he rounds first. He was just running. He wasn't looking. And he hears the crowd cheer, so he starts to put his arms up. Like, yeah! Home run! And then he rounds second, and the coach, and like he sees the ball being thrown in, and Luke is like, man, he lost so much aura.
He's got no aura now. They must have been studying your tape, rounding the base too far and then getting thrown out.
Absolutely. Coming back. No kidding. It's not really a buzzword. But when someone says at the end of a conversation when you bump into them, hey, let's do lunch sometime. I know that they have no intention of ever seeing me again until the next time I happen to run into them. Let's do lunch.
That's true, man. It's more just like it's like saying like good luck. Yeah. Like you're just wishing them positivity.
Well.
Some of the answers on the Twitch. You got ShootBrown78 says, does that make sense? That's a good one where when somebody goes like, does that make sense? Like, why are you, whatever you're saying, are
I
you trying to
that.
Sell? No, like, I think when you're talking about a sports topic, yes. If you're saying it in like you're trying to convince somebody of something, that usually is like, okay, why? Why isn't this just simple enough? The Sethnicity says, this decision isn't personal. It's just a business decision. The one that sets it off for me is, I cannot stand, lately, this one always makes me look skeptical on somebody when they say overstimulated.
My wife says that about my kids the time.
But if they're talking about, I'm just overstimulated. It's like, what excuse are you covering over for? You're being like a B or like there's something. I don't like the overstimulated. It makes me go like, all right, your excuse throwing something off the side. I don't like that at all. All right. Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif, what's the most expensive hobby you have?
Food.
Specifically barbecue?
Yes. It used to be I had probably a 3-month run of a wine collection, but it was not any $200, $300 bottle ones. It's off these discount sites.
Yeah.
I bought a wine fridge and everything. This thing was loaded and stacked. You come over to my house now, you might see an Apothic $12 bottle. maybe the highest bottle I have in there is a Meiomi, as my wife would make fun of my accent. About $25 Meiomi wine. But
how's it supposed to be pronounced?
I think it's Meiomi.
Okay.
But she makes fun of the Miami. So for a while, it was a wannabe, now defunct wine collection. Yes.
Okay. Chop, your most expensive hobby?
It's got to be golf.
Oh.
It's got to be golf. I mean, we like bourbon. You know, that can get pricey.
But out of five times that you play golf, how many times do you pay?
That's fair. Because I try not to pay.
Right. Yeah. It's expensive for other people.
I call myself America's guest.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And your wife is in the alcohol business.
She is. She doesn't get a lot of free stuff. She used to. Now she doesn't really get much free stuff anymore. But yeah, it would probably be golf because the clubs are expensive. And if you want to play at a nice course, golf balls are a ripoff. Clothes, which I don't know what to pay for those. It's just, yeah, golf's high. Kids. Kids sports. Kids are a hobby.
I was going to say, kids
are a hobby.
A hobby led to the kids. 903, yeah. Legos, 817, bass fishing.
Oh, Legos.
210, cologne is a problem for me. I'm over 50 bottles, and a few of them cost $400.
Wow.
Dude.
My brother's into
Holy
watches.
Cow.
Really? Yeah. Peyton, what's your most expensive hobby?
I hate calling it a hobby, but gambling, I guess. Sports gambling, physical gambling, casino. I mean, if I'm losing, which doesn't happen often, but yeah, I have lost before, so yeah, it would be gambling.
I think my problem is I don't have a hobby. I legitimately, somebody was like, okay, honestly, that is what I came up with. My hobby ends up being researching things. So if you want to say my most expensive hobby is that because I sign up for, let me get this service and then it costs me money through that way, I guess that. But generally, I don't have a hobby. I don't think.
You really
That's
need
my
to go work for the FBI.
Yeah.
What do you think he would enjoy, though, as a hobby?
Ruining people's lives?
My biggest hobby back in the day didn't cost me money, really. It was, I used to collect and trade like original broadcasts of sports games. So I had stuff from the 70s, 80s, everything. Like I had like the entire Cowboys seasons from like 77 to 79, like regular season and playoffs. But that was like shipping. You would just find somebody who had something, you'd trade with them and stuff like that. So it didn't really cost money. It cost a lot of time, but that was pretty much it.
God, card collecting was fun.
Yeah, it was.
I know people still do it.
They still do.
Midday show, the whole show. Yeah, they're obsessed with it.
But now it's not a hobby. Now it's like an investment.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
All right, we're doing Ask Her to here on 105.3 The Fan. You can weigh in on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, also on the Twitch and on the YouTube. RJ Choppy, What's the worst thing you ever saw on the internet?
Oh, man, early internet. Early internet, there was something with a woman and a horse. That is the worst thing I've ever seen. I still burn.
It is not as cool as it sounds.
It is burned into the sound is burned into my brain. The sound, I can't even, I don't even know how to describe it on radio. That was the worst thing I've ever seen. And the fact that somebody, this is before Vine. Okay, I'm talking
that
like...
That was never on Vine.
I'm talking like late
90s. Like you had to see
90s.
The whole thing?
I'm talking like late 90s. It was, yeah, you saw the whole thing. I've never heard a horse make sounds like this before. I've never heard a woman make sounds like this before either.
That's a problem.
I that's the worst thing I've ever seen, man.
One cup.
That dude. Yeah.
One cup.
Did it make you sick?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but yeah, it's... grotesque.
I cannot do that. That was my original answer. Then I remembered I was genuinely disturbed. My dad.
I don't want to say the whole thing in case kids right now. Yeah. Like, let me go look that up. One cup.
Early on in the days of the internet when it was like people would email you videos like, oh, did you see this video? Or you'd get email chains and stuff like that. Somebody had sent my dad a video and was like, this is crazy. And he opened it and then one of the kids started crying and he ran to the back. And so he was taking care of them for like 10 minutes. And I heard something over there. I just kept hearing the video loop. So I was like, what is this? So I walked over and looked. It was a guy in police custody. They put him in there. They walk out. And as he's sitting there, they hadn't patted him down. So he had something in his waistband and he just ended things right there. And I saw that and I was like 10 years old. And that image is still not out of my head. I can vividly see it.
The whole face is a death thing was awful.
Yeah, all that was terrible. Peyton, what's your answer for this? The worst thing you ever saw on the internet?
Yeah, same as Sean. And then G-Bag has a segment now from it. Two guys, one booth. So
yeah,
they took it from there.
They do. That is the overwhelming answer here.
Really,
everybody is saying that right now on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text. Tejano Boy says, "Mr. Hands, aka the horse video that you're referencing, dude. I guess is what that is." All right, We got time for probably one, maybe two more here on Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Sean Sharif, as a man, what's the one movie you would recommend every guy watch?
Ooh. Forrest Gump.
Good one.
Got you down.
I think it gives you an awareness for, it gives you some empathy. It gives you a cultural awareness with the history. It gives you an awareness for disorders or stuff that people are going through.
Yeah.
Feel good. It'll make you cry. Make you laugh. I'll say Forrest Gump.
It's a good answer.
I was thinking either Bronx Tale or Stand By Me. Just coming of age.
Stand By Me is really good.
It's just you're kind of like you go from boy to man or, you know, girl to woman in whatever movie it is. It's just, you know, it's, I think it's those coming of age flicks.
You don't see a lot of those anymore. I don't feel like you can get the Stand By Me's or the like, oh, you see them grow up over the course of like a whole movie anymore. Peyton Russell, the one movie you would recommend every guy watch.
So I hadn't seen this movie until I joined the morning show a few years ago, but Shawshank Redemption. I loved it.
Great.
It was a great movie. Everyone should watch it.
If you're just talking about like what movie would guys enjoy, Fight Club is way at the top. Just like dudes would enjoy that. As the one is like, hey, you should watch this. You'll get a lot out of it. It's really impactful. Everything else. Saving Private Ryan's great. I think if you watch Saving Private Ryan, it's emotional. It's all about sacrifice. It's inspiring. Everything there. I love that movie.
Ask Reddit every Tuesday at this time. Thanks to all the Tolo participation on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. This guy, last time he was on, gave us a Dallas Cowboy education. We were talking about the Western Conference Finals, and now we're talking about your next head coach of the Dallas Stars. And is someone going to steal Connor McDavid? The color analyst for the Edmonton Oilers talked about Glenn Gullitson. Bob Stauffer joins us next.